Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, and happy Friday, everybody. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Anything you want to talk about regarding the New York Football Giants, the NFL,
you got it?
We're here? Let's have some fun. Fiegs, Giants and Bears coming up. Giants with two straight games against the Bears at home and then the Browns on the road. And combined, those two teams are a lovely
2-16.
So two games that I think you could put into the games the Giants should win column, but there are also games that you have to play well enough to win. So I think that's where we'll start. The guys on the team have talked about it a little bit this week, what you need to do to avoid a trap game. You were in the league for 20 years. You've been in these situations before where you're playing a bad team and maybe the team relax and calms down a little bit and things don't go exactly the way they're supposed to go. As a player, how do you avoid, in that locker room, letting yourself become complacent against a team like the Bears?
Well, you take it individually and understand, you talk about what will happen if you lose the game, more about the letdown. You got to say to yourself, okay, listen, guys, if we lose this game, what type of a position are we going to put ourselves in? That instantly will paint a really good picture for you, especially with this NFC East and what Dallas is above you. So those right there, there should be no complacency. There should be no trap game. There should be anything like that. It's just go about your business. Win your games at home. Giants are 4-1 at home, and they need to continue to build on that. And I think the coaching staff is certainly, putting that in their hats and telling them, hey, guys, we got to go. But business as usual. Okay, the NFL, John, we know anybody can show up on any Sunday and win, and that certainly can happen. But this team has got to keep pace. They got to keep playing well, and I think they will. And I think this is a different team. This is a different team than last year and years past. They have proven to me that they can go out and win games when they have to. I mean, you look at the way that this team combined, is it 20 or 21 points that they have won all their games by? That's a close margin in each one of those. This team is ready to play. No letdown. But I think it's, to answer your question, John, it's all individual. It's up to each of the leaders on the team to focus these guys and go about their business.
And both Eli Manning and Ben McAdoo talked about it earlier in the week. All you got to do is look at the tape, especially of this Bears team defensively,
to know
they're going to be a challenge. And a lot of the names I know might not be super familiar to Giant fans,
but they
have some guys that can play.
They're young.
And I'll go through some of the guys that you really got to worry about. You got a defensive lineman, Eddie Goldman. Now, he's been injured this week. He might not play this weekend. Good nose tackle. You got Pernell McPhee, who's a good pass rusher off the edge.
It's a good
talker.
You got
Leonard Floyd, a good pass rusher off the edge, the rookie that a lot of people rumored that the Giants might look to draft him. Willie Young, he's their leader in sacks. He's a guy that can pass rush from the outside linebacker position or put his hand down in the dirt. Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, two good, solid inside linebackers. Now, the secondary is very young. They have Tracy Porter, then a bunch of guys that without a ton of experience. I think if they have a weakness, that's where it is. But, Jeff, we've talked about this a million times. If you can't win up front, it doesn't matter who's back there playing in the secondary.
You're right.
So the Giants' offensive line, which I want to get into right now, is banged up as all. You know what? Justin Pugh's not going to play again, more than likely. Brett Jones hasn't practiced all week. More than likely, unless something changes today or tomorrow, I'm not going to go. Adam Gettis limited with the calf, so you might have Marshall Newhouse again at guard, a position he's just not that familiar playing.
Yeah.
Especially here with the Giants. He did a little bit in his prior stops. But winning the battle up front here, if the Giants can not even win it, hold their own in the trenches on offense, they'll be fine. But we've seen it. The Bears can be very disruptive with their pass rush, and they're good against the run.
And they can sack the quarterback. They're quick outside. You know, you talk about Floyd. The guy, young rookie, has 5 sacks, so they are very active up front, and it is a huge test for this offensive line for the things that you mentioned, John. But the fact is they got to go out and play. And who's going to be in that starting five, who knows. But regardless, I think that they made some momentum in the running game last week. I think that that's going to help them in their confidence going into this game, running the football.
Yep.
But I agree with you. This Bears team, if there is a strength, it's their front seven. I don't think their offense is that good, and I think their secondary is probably their weakest link on defense. But that front seven can get after you. Got to be disciplined. And ball, I mean, time of possession in this game, I think, will be key. First downs, third downs, things like that. Move the football. This is a very good defensive team in the red zone, like the Giants are. Just from off the top of my head, maybe
sixth in the league.
Sixth, okay, yeah, looking at those stats. So take advantage of the opportunity in there. You got to make sure you put some points up on the board and get ahead in this game. And really, if you can do that, it lends itself to what the Giants did last week in that last 4 minutes of the game, being able to run the football offensively. And defensively, it was really nice to see those sacks at the end of the game. Those things were a long time coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you get the sense that the better teams and defenses and pass rushes in the league, Jeff, they do get home more as the game goes along, as they wear down the offensive line a little bit, and they start to get home. Now, you mentioned the Bears' offense. Let's jump over to that real quick here. They've struggled. 31st in the league in terms of scoring offense, 16th in terms of yards. So, realistically, probably somewhere in the lower third of the league offensively. 27th in the red zone. We all know the Giants have the best red zone defense in the league. And then you have Jay Cutler, who will wow you with some throws.
You never know what you're going to get with him.
But last week, for example, he had two interceptions. He fumbled the football twice. And takeaways obviously hurt your team. There's rumors out there in Chicago in the papers that he's lost the locker room. We've heard that before when it comes to Jay Cutler. He says it's not true.
Of course he does.
Who knows? But the bottom line is this. If you're disruptive up front, you can force Jay Cutler into mistakes. And now he's without his top wide receiver, Alshon Jeffrey. I actually thought Steve Spagnuolo had a very interesting quote yesterday when he was asked about how Alshon Jeffrey's absence, Jeff, could affect what the Bears do offensively. And if I can find Spags here, there he is. And I thought it was very interesting. This is what he said in regards to Alshon Jeffrey. We have a couple guys here that were with Chicago, and this is an interesting statement. When you have Jeffrey as a quarterback, you tend to throw to him. Think Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. That's me editorializing that. This is back to Spags. When you don't have him, you tend to spread out the ball. The statement that was made to me was that Jay Cutler is really good when he spreads out the ball. I think we have to be careful. Just because an elite player isn't playing for them doesn't mean they're going to miss a beat. The beat might go up. I thought that was an interesting statement.
The beat goes up because I think that he feels like he has to get the ball to Jeffrey, and now he can spread it around. The one thing that the defense will be able to do that they would not be able to do if he was playing was that they don't have to bracket coverage on any of these guys. I mean, Eddie Royale, he's not the greatest in the world. But
possession guy.
Exactly.
That's all he is.
So I think that that favors the Giants' defensive secondary to be able to play their game, and also it's going to favor Steve Spagnuolo to throw some wrinkles at Jay Cutler for the reasons that you just mentioned. Get in his face, make him make mistakes. The one thing about Jay Cutler is he's kind of one of these guys where his demeanor will tell you everything. If he's starting to have a bad game, he's just gonna stink it up. He's not the kind of guy that will come back and play. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just like you watch him. If I was a Bears fan, oh my goodness, I couldn't take him. I mean, just the way that he goes about it and things. Now he can get a hot hand. He can get a hot hand. You just don't hopefully think that it's going to be this week.
And what you want to do if you're the Bears is don't put the game on his shoulders, which means run the football. And yeah. I watched a lot of tape of this kid yesterday with Carl Banks. Jordan Howard is a heck of a running back.
He really is.
He's big. He gets downhill. Personally, watching him, to me, he reminds me of DeMarco Murray, where they're a one cut back. They don't have the best feet where you're going to stop on a dime and, you know, move left or right and be real jittery. But you get downhill, they put their shoulders down, they'll break a tackle here, they'll get the extra 3 or 4 yards after contact. And he's somebody that is a traditional power back that the Giants are going to have to be very, very wary of this week. And if they don't stop Jordan Howard, to me, all bets are off. Because this Bears offense can be good if Jordan Howard gets going.
And from a matchup perspective, that defensive line, our defensive line, the Giants' defensive line, against that offensive line of the Bears, you know, Long was out, went out of the game last week. Probably he's not going to play this week.
Kyle Long.
Kyle Long. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an advantage for the Giants' defense. So and
very good guard. Big loss.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Pro bowler. First, you know, 3 years in the league. The fact that he's going to be out of the lineup is really big for this defensive line. And they are pretty stout against the run. But, you know, Howard does get a lot of yards after contact. And he's a big dude. And you got to take and you got to wrap up. So I think, you know, good disciplined tackling by those linebackers is going to be key to hold him into, you know, under 100 yards.
And he's tied with Ezekiel Elliott for the most 100-yard games this year with four. So I know he has at least two straight 100-yard games. I know he had him against the Bucks and the Vikings in their last two. I didn't go back further than that. A couple of things to note off the numbers that we usually get on this Friday show, Jeff. One, don't panic, folks, if this game's closing and heading into the fourth quarter, because the Bears have actually been pretty good
the
first three quarters this year. It's in the fourth quarter where they are the worst team in the NFL in point differential. They've been outscored 86-30 in fourth quarters this year. So they've allowed at least 7 points in every fourth quarter they've played in this season. So don't be surprised if this game's tighter going into the fourth and the Giants figure out a way to pull away.
Well, don't be surprised because every one of them this year have been tight. Right. You know, one thing again, too, John, I was looking up on some statistics and things that this Bears offense, they're really good up the middle. They average 6.3 yards a carry up the middle. The Giants are very good in the middle, too. They only give up 3.1 yards a carry.
Yeah,
so
Howard's not a guy they're going to run outside all. They want to run between
up in
the tackles.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's a good thing to look at, too. So, yeah, this game, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game. But, you know, the Giants really, they don't have to make it a close game if they just go out there and continue to work on that offense. And, you know, is this a week that they get that 30 points? I thought they would have gotten it last week. But, you know, it just seems to me that the defense for the Giants are keeping these games intact, and the Giants don't have to score 30 to win.
The Bears have not scored 24 points once this year, the only team in the NFL to not have done that. Howard did get hurt last week, by the way, but they say it's not serious, so he should be fine.
Okay.
Bears are 2-0 this year when Howard rushes it at least 23 times.
Well, there you go. There's your, you know, and I tell you what, folks, the weather on Sunday is calling for very, very strong winds and cold. So it's going to lend itself. Yeah, so it's going to lend itself to a running game, which if you look at both teams in the running department, you know, I think that that's what you're going to see. It's going to be kind of a ground game. That means we'll be out of there quickly then. Maybe a 2-hour and 50-minute game.
You're begging now.
And then takes 2 hours and 50 minutes to get out of the stadium.
The other thing, too, the Giants have been great in close games this year.
Oh, man.
6-2 in games decided by 8 points or less.
That's crazy.
Which is unbelievable. And they're 3-1 in games decided by 3 points or less.
And
so,
how about the point differential for the Giants?
Well, they're actually a -2. The only team in the NFC East with a minus point differential, but they've been so good in close games.
It's been crazy.
That they've been able to manage their 6-3
record. The opposing team has scored more points than them, but they are
6-3.
That's some real.
In fact, there was a number here. I can give you this. Three other NFL teams, I believe, with a winning record, but have minus point differentials.
I think Houston was one of them with the most.
The Texans,
right?
-27. They're also 6-3.
-27.
Yeah.
That is an unbelievable number.
Because they've been awful on the road. So they've been blown out on the road a couple of times. By the way, they play at Oakland this week. I do not like that matchup for them.
In Mexico City.
And then the Lions are -1 and 5-4, and the Dolphins are -2. At 5-4. By the way, good job by Adam Gase this year. I didn't think the Dolphins would be 5-4 at this point of the year. I want to tell you.
And think about the first
bit.
Couple games of the season. It didn't look good for the Dolphins.
Oh, no. It looked like the wheels were falling off.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and really what's happened with the Dolphins, not to get off subject of the Giants too much, but that Dolphins offensive line has really stepped up. And they have really been.
Jay Ajayi.
And they got a running back that's.
It's amazing what a great running game will do for a team, right?
You think?
Helps. Absolutely helps.
And it's really amazing when you talk about the game of football today and its sense of passing and things. It all still always comes back to running the football. Running the football and time of possession, first downs, those things, and you get them by running the football. And listen, if the Giants can get somewhat of a running game established here for the second half of the season, it's going to be really well for them to down the stretch when they're winning football games and have to control the clock. Because you know, that's why they're in the situations that they are every week pertaining to the time of possession and running the football at the end of the game. Listen, they did a great job at it last week. Finally, you get the longest run from scrimmage from Rashad Jennings, 20-something yards at the end of the game.
And they had 2 20-plus yard runs last week,
which
right?
Which was, you know, and your hat's off to that offensive line, you know, coming in there and what they were doing with Newhouse playing guard and with Jonesy going out of the lineup as soon as he did. And
Eli made a nice audible on that 3rd and 6 to get him into that run. That got him that first down to clinch the game.
And I heard the other day on the radio, and this really made sense. I won't say who said it, but the fact
you
is,
can say who said it. It's okay.
Well, it was from Mike Francesa on WFAN.
They're a flagship. You could say that. It's okay.
And I thought it was a really good point, and it really made me think about this. That fourth down play that the Giants had made. A caller had called in and asked about it, and Mike was saying, I think that is when Ben McAdoo became the head coach of the New York Giants. I think that is when you realize this is his team and this is how he's going to play.
I think it's fair to say that was an unorthodox decision. As soon as they got in the situation, me, Bob, Carl, Howard all looked at each other and said, field goal.
Yeah, I think everybody in the stadium did. But I know that there was communication between him and Eli that had mentioned prior to that play, two plays prior, we are in four-down territory.
And they knew that. They had that play in their back
pocket.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, folks, what you don't understand, when teams go for it on fourth down or they get into the red zone even, coaches from their game film during the week have plays in their back pocket that they wait to use in spots when they really need them.
Yep.
They know based on how a team schemes up on the goal line. In fact, I was talking to Sully last week, and he said, John, if we get into that red zone, they run quarters a lot. I got some stuff that's going to work against them. He was all excited about
it. Of course he gets
these
excited.
These coaches have these plays in their back pocket, and they know, you know what? We're not going to take this out in the first quarter on a second down and six, you know, second goal with a six. No, we're going to wait till we really need the damn thing.
Patience. As easy as it may sound to, hold it. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You're chomping at the bit if they're in quarters and you want to run this play, but you want to just make sure you wait until the last second to be able to expose that and expose them more than expose you. I mean, it was a great call, and they got the matchup they wanted with Sterling Shepard, and really that play was all about patience and also patience in calling that play.
Yep.
That Eli Manning did not look at Sterling Shepard for 1 second. He kind of looked to the left and was going to bring the defense over and then waited for Sterling Shepard to clear through, and there he was right underneath. Great play.
All
calls?
Right. I want to get your game in early today.
Okay, all right. Well, now that my brain is ready to go here, you know.
Woo! It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
All right, here
John.
We go. Now, you had a 2-for-2 last week. I gave you a bonus points because you nailed the player. You actually the guy
well
with
deserved.
The same name. Two different players with the same name playing on different teams.
Same
you got
team.
Them both. So I gave you the 2-for-2. I'm giving you two more names this week, all right? You ready to go?
Something tells me that you have gone into the archives and you were really mad that I was 2-for-2 last week, and this is going to be tough.
I don't know. We'll find out. Number one, did you ever play with Leland McElroy?
Oh, Leland McElroy. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Where did you play with Leland McElroy?
Well, hold on. Am I correct?
Yes, you played with Leland McElroy.
And I believe that McElroy... I got to believe it was with the Cardinals?
Correct. All right. What position did Leland McElroy play?
He was a running back.
That is correct. And he was also a kick returner, which is I thought you might get because I figured you know.
And you're buttering me up for the second one coming. This
all right.
Is gonna
that's
be
pretty
hard.
Good. Number two.
That might be the first time I've got all three categories correct.
You nailed them all.
Nailed them all.
Now, I usually – this is a tough one. What years was he with you in Arizona?
This will be a tough one, but I think it was 1995.
Now 6 and 7. Close enough.
All right.
They're
so,
right there.
Right.
Good enough. All right. Number two. Did you ever play with Marcus Dowdle?
Marcus Dowdle.
So I guess, yes, you did play with Marcus Dowdle. Where
did
you play with Marcus
Seattle.
Dowdle?
Wrong.
No, is he with
Wrong.
Do you know where that button is?
Oh, yes, I do.
Marcus Dowdle was with Seattle.
Wrong.
I knew that name. I'm sorry, Marcus.
You played with Marcus Dowdle in Arizona. Now, what position?
Didn't I say Arizona first?
No, you said Seattle. And then you said Seattle again, like I was going to change my mind. Where? What position did Arizona play?
He was a wide receiver.
Okay, that is correct.
And he was a special teams guy.
He was also
a gunner.
He was also a punt returner.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn it.
You lose. Good day, sir.
But you know what? I mean, I said yes. I knew I had played with him before.
And you know what? You actually got two out of the other three. So
All right.
I'm going to give you the win, even
Marcus
though you had the team wrong.
And you know, I will tell you, both of those guys that you had mentioned, I do know them because they were good special teams guys.
They were. And I picked two special teams guys to give you a fair chance.
They were very good.
Next
very
week,
good.
in honor of Thanksgiving, I'm dropping the hammer on you.
Okay.
I'm just warning you. You are getting some
tough names next week. No free turkey for me next week.
No, no, because you're going to come in from Thanksgiving all fat and happy. You're going to be all relaxed. You're going to be in a good mood.
And
I'm going to crush your soul.
My brain is going to be before they get the what's the stuff that's in
tryptophan.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to be all over it. So that's fine.
You're going to want some tryptophan. I might surprise you. I throw at you next week.
And by the way, I just so everyone knows, I do not go in the computer and look at all the people that I played with. That's cheating.
So yeah, you wrote out two above 500 and 9-7.
That's not bad.
Congratulations. That's
pretty
good.
I think it's going to come down to the end of the season. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a tight race, just like the NFCs. So anyways.
All right. Ready to take
some calls?
We got a full roster of calls here.
Yep.
And we'll take them the rest of the way at 201-939-4513. And I will now go to hashtag Giants chat and monitor that as well.
Cool.
Joe in Pennsylvania was first up, so we'll go to him first.
All right, Joe.
Joe, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, it's the JJ show.
It is. This is. It's the best show there is.
No, you have to be happy with the coaching. I think they are coming around there. Maybe McAdoo, if he keeps it up, might be up for coach of the year there, possibly, right?
Hey, one game at a time, as he would sure.
Right.
Them, you know?
And as far as the letdown, you know, all they have to do is look at Chicago when they played Minnesota and compare it to the way we played Minnesota, what happened.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there shouldn't be no letdown. And,
yeah,
you know
Jordan
what I mean?
Howard, by the way, ran for about 125 yards against Minnesota in that game. You're absolutely right, Joe.
That's a good point.
So,
yep.
No, and talking here, I'm looking at our players here, maybe the young players, if you give them time. Maybe we have everything on our roster if you give them time. Look at the way the tackles played last game there, you know, a Hart and Flowers. You know, what I'm looking at there, and with our young receivers and tight ends and that, maybe all they need is time, that they are young, and like going into the draft next year. I know I'm putting ahead. We wouldn't have to go after out on a limb for anybody, or even in the free agent market like we had last year, you know. And we could sign our own players. I think who's up there? I know JPP and Hank Ains. I don't know if DRC's up there or not. Is he?
Don't know.
Not sure.
But you look at those two tackles, Joe, and the way that they played against the Eagles' defense. And then they come in against a front four against the Bengals and do pretty good job too. So, you know, these guys are—they certainly need to continue that type of play to be able to, you know, this Bears front seven is pretty good.
Now, in fairness, Dunlop did get in there a little bit, and Eli was under siege for a lot of that first half.
Yeah,
but a lot of it was from the interior, not necessarily from around the tackles.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting better. To your
point. I'd like to have a win where I don't have to be saying a rosary at the end of the game every time. You know what I mean? Every time, you know, the other team has the ball. Well, I think the defense had a, you know, in the Rams game, it came down to the end. This game here, it came down to the end against the Eagles. And then I think the defense pulled out them too, and the offense finally pulled out this one. So, along with the coaching staff. So, I said, in young players, so hopefully we can keep going like this. And, you know, I'm very happy with it. And, like I said, the coaching staff, great the way Spagnuolo is playing. You know what I mean? He's not going to sit back. If he's going to go down, he's going down, going after him, you know?
Well, good. Joe, he has the players to do it. And that's
no question.
What all the fans last year would call up and complain to Jeff and I and Lance and
what's
Paul.
The matter?
And, you know, everybody else that's on the show. Oh, Spags doesn't blitz. You got to blitz more. What are you doing? Well, when you got Trevin Wade out there guarding, you know, Dez Bryant, you know what? You can't blitz because they're going to murder you.
You got guys starting off the practice squad.
When you have Janoris Jenkins out there and you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie out there and a first-round pick in Eli Apple out there, guess what? You can put those guys in man-up zero
Collins.
Coverage and you can roll the dice. And Collins has played a lot better this year. So the personnel has allowed Steve Spagnuolo to run this defense the way he wants, and you're seeing the results. It's a combination of talent and coaching. People don't understand this, and I don't want to go on a little rant here, but I'm going to do it anyway. People think that coaches can take, you know, what my dog puts out on the sidewalk and basically put together a good defense. It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
I don't care if you're throwing Vince Lombardi out there on offense or Tom Landry on defense or whomever. If you don't have the players, you're not going to be good. You can be maybe not the worst, but you're not going to be good. You need the players to get things done. And, Joe, right now, thanks to the work Jerry Reese did in the offseason, fantastic job. This defense is so much more talented, and now it's showing out there on the field, and it's getting better and better every week, mostly because the pass rush has looked better and better every week.
Right. I said I see so much of Jimmy Johnson in Spagnuolo because I used to
– That's where he came from.
That's, you know what I mean. He always went down fighting, you know, but he had the guys up front, too, that he'd send them in and go man the man if he had it. You know, if he's going down, he's going down fighting, not standing back.
Yep.
Where I said I was surprised Cincinnati didn't do that. I would have sent the house after the Giants, you know what I mean, rush blocking and man up no matter what, you know, and that 2-3 minute drill, and they really didn't do it. So,
and look, the bottom line, Joe, we talked about it last week. I said I was slightly worried about the Jenkins AJ Green matchup. Jenkins did a hell of a job on him. He really did. He was great. AJ Green did not beat him with the size. He did a fantastic, fantastic job.
Right. We have ball hawks, and they can come after him. And Spags is starting to mix in the younger guys more and more, and it's showing. Another big thing with this game coming up there, kicking could take in a big place if we have all that wins too, you know. So I just want to say happy go Giants. One other question maybe you can answer for me or
sure.
not before I get off there. I see CBS this week has the Eagles and Seattle game. Why is that it just started the last year or two? We're seeing some of that with the different networks.
Yeah,
like
Joe,
that
what they started to do is the networks have been given permission by the league to swap games some weeks. And the reason they'll do it, I'm guessing that Seattle, Philadelphia is the national game at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I believe so, but I'm
and,
happy
and
it's
this,
on CBS.
And that's why.
So.
Because some weeks, Joe – before the season, every week rather, they predetermine which one of the two networks has the national window at 4 o'clock. Some weeks it's Fox, some weeks it's CBS, and I think they alternate every other week. And that's how it works. That one network will get the national window.
So that's why they're going to get it this week.
And sometimes you'll get to a week where CBS has that national window, and you can see 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, oh no, there are no good AFC games this week to put on at 4:25 across the country for the national game. So then CBS will say, well, you know what, Fox, how about this? What if you give us Seattle, Philadelphia, but 5 weeks from now we're going to give you Kansas City and Oakland, and that's going to be our trade. And that's kind of how the networks move games around. I think the league helps precipitate that to make those things happen so you get better national TV games at 4 o'clock.
I'm happy for it because I'll get to see the locally here, see the Bears and the Giants where, you know what I mean, unless it's a doubleheader, the Eagles would take priority here for me, you know. So, but a lot of that game, then I guess I can watch the Eagles, and then I can watch the Skins at night. Three good games again in the NFC. So, go Giants. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And really, when you think about the NFC East, those are teams that networks want to be on TV for good games.
I mean, all big markets.
All big markets and all good teams. You know, so, yeah, it's interesting. But thanks for that. I didn't know that either, John. So that's a good analogy.
That started 2 or 3 years ago. Where they kind of give them the ability to
yeah, because you always thought the AFC had the you know CBS and you know vice versa, but interesting. You know one thing about
the other ABC, the other CBS game, the only other CBS game at 4:25,
Rams
Patriots at 49ers. And that game's going to be over by the middle of the second quarter.
That's
you
be
would
a horrible
think.
Game. Yeah.
So you want to try to get a better game in that window.
Back to what Joe was saying is that you know the defense bailed out this team. I was listening to Rashad Jennings in our post-game interview down in the coaches club last weekend, and he said, you know, it really felt good that the Giants' offense could finally come on the field and do something to win the game.
They close out the game
rather
than the defense having
to do it. Exactly. And that was really – that was good to hear and good to see because obviously that has not happened the rest of the up to that point.
Well, and he told me it was all excited that he could take a couple snaps where the quarterback's under center and he actually had a lead blocker on one or two of those plays, which
yeah.
got him excited.
Yeah.
So he can run like a power back.
I sure wish they did that more often, under center.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our very busy phone. Let's say hi to Drew, Denver, Virginia. Drew,
hi,
what's
Drew.
Going on?
Hey, John, Jeff, how you guys doing?
Wonderful,
this fine
man.
Friday morning.
Doing fantastic. How are you, Drew?
Good. Hey, man, I just got a couple of questions, man. Really a couple of observations. But I'm going to start out with the Giants first, man.
Sure.
You know, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is the fact that, you know, I'm looking at McAdoo, and he's starting to play a lot more players, you know, where, you know, the knock on Tom Coughlin was, you know, he wouldn't necessarily sit people or bench people. You know, he was always sticking with his guys. And, you know, I like the fact that McAdoo is sitting up there and saying, okay, we need to try to find what works and that and doesn't work. And he's playing more and more people. So,
you know what, Drew, I don't want to completely disagree with you here. But I think to some extent, that's a little bit overrated. Because all I heard last year is that the Giants played too many running backs. They played every running back under the sun deck last year, and I heard everybody complain about it. They played all the tight ends last year. They don't rotate offensive linemen anyway. So the only place on offense where McAdoo's really playing more guys is at wide receiver.
Right,
but let's be honest. The first 7-8 weeks of the year, you had the top three wide receivers taking 98% of the snaps, and now that Victor Cruz went out, you're seeing other guys get a little bit more time. But for the first 8 games of the year, you pretty much saw those top three wide receivers in every single play.
And one thing,
While I hear you on that and everything, and yes, I can't dispute that because you are correct, okay. And I guess you know it's as you would say, injuries are forcing these changes.
That was
so
what I was
yeah.
Say.
Okay, right. So I still see that, but it's still refreshing to see these guys get out there on the field and play and contribute. Because in the end, you're going to know what you have and what you don't have. So again, you know, I do understand that injuries are forcing your hand, but you know, you're not going to know what you have unless these guys play in real world situations. So
that's
it's
fair.
Nice to see that.
Yep.
You know, so that's what I had to say. So, you know, one of the other things, man, I kind of just, since this is talk about anything Friday, I'm looking at the, you know, the teams, the league-wide.
Yeah.
And that was a report came on a couple of weeks ago, actually just before the election ended or during the election. And, you know, where they was talking about, oh, viewership is down and everything and this and that. And, you know, I kind of agree with that to a certain point because I would tell you, like, for me, example, I don't watch football like I used to. I'm kind of losing my passion for it. I think a lot of it's got to do with just, first and foremost, just bad play. And then, you know, that just you know, league-wide, you know, is it my imagination but or what? But league-wide, the league just isn't good. League-wide, there are a lot of bad teams out there.
It's true,
am
true to
I
me,
imagining that?
Yeah, to me, I think if you want to put your finger on a couple things for me why the ratings are down, I'd love to get Jeff's take on it too, is one, I do think with Thursday Night Football, there might be a little bit of an oversaturation where there's football on so much that people aren't going to watch every game because their wife will divorce them. Trust me, I get it. That's number one. Number two, I think it has to do with just the quality of the games that have shown up in a lot of the national windows this year.
Bad games.
Right.
The games haven't been great. And
it,
if you look at last week, Drew, the Steeler-Cowboy game had some of the best ratings for a national 4 o'clock game of any game ever.
And it was a good game.
And then you go to the Sunday night game, the Patriots-Seahawks game had great ratings, even compared to last year's phenomenal ratings. So
right.
I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of play. I agree with you.
Right, exactly, and that's what I was going to say. Those two games, okay, was really, you know, an anomaly, okay, because first and foremost, I actually looked forward to both of those games, and that was the other thing, too. You kind of knew what the ratings were. You knew what the matchups were. You knew what the teams were. You knew both teams were good. So you kind of looked, I know I did. I definitely looked forward to seeing both of those games. But like Thursday's game, yesterday's game, I didn't even watch. I don't even know who played or who won or whatever. And I'm just saying overall, man, I'm just saying overall, when you look around the league, man, I mean, that's just some horrendous teams, and it just makes for some really, really bad matchups all the way around. You know, I kind of feel like the competition is just, you know, it's only about 4 or 5 teams that you could say are good, and then the rest of the league is just horrendous.
Thank you, Drew.
Hold up. I got one question.
You got to be really fast, man.
Yeah, this is for Jeff. Jeff. With that said, man, one of the things that one of the announcers was talking about a couple of weeks ago was talking about the CBA and how the CBA needs a change. Now, you being the former player, here's my question to you. Do you think that the I don't know if you can talk about it or not, being at your job. But, you know,
we'll
do
see.
You think that the CBA needs to be changed? Because here's my point. I feel like with the current CBA, teams, they can't practice. They can't do a lot of things. And you're seeing, again, this goes back to the quality of the game. You're seeing that in the quality of the game. For example, I see a lot of bad tackling throughout the league. And so I think that the CBA has kind of hurt the game. And that's my question to you. I'll take that off the air.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, we don't have enough time to go into it deeply, but the fact of the matter is that the players create the CBA. They're the ones that created that we're not going to practice, and because of the health safety issues, things like that.
Well, the players and owners obviously agreed on it together.
They agreed on it, and I think nobody likes it. I know mostly the coaches don't like it because they can't coach their players on the field like they have in the past.
Are
to
you
make them
sure
better.
The players don't like it?
I don't know that. I'm not on the field enough to know anymore, but I would feel like, you know, I think that there's a happy medium in between there, and I think that the players would probably want a little bit more, and so would the coaches, but not sure where the owners are.
I think where it hurts the most, Drew mentioned tackling, I think blocking on the offensive line.
Both of those have been very evident that it's hurt them.
Because
it
it's
really
not
has.
Even fewer practices, it's less contact.
It's contact,
practice.
That's the thing, and where do you get your contact mostly at practice?
Offensive
and
line.
Tackling. Real quickly on the ratings thing, I've noticed just in my viewership, my own, on Thursday nights, I get a little bit bored with that Thursday night game.
Last night's game was actually pretty good, though.
But I was watching – I have been watching college football on Thursday nights. There's been some good games on Thursday night football.
Have there been?
I find myself kind of going to that. Maybe that's a trend, you know, I don't know. But I feel like it's just an ongoing situation with the NFL. And really, to me, I just think the games have been – important, like you said. Some of them you just can't watch them.
And I think here it is too. A couple things. One, I think a lot of the big teams with big players haven't been very good. I mean, I think the Giants are an exception. Dallas, obviously, an exception. They've only been primetime twice though this year. They got a lot of primetime games left, which will help the ratings.
They'll
a lot
be getting a
forward.
Lot of them.
The Steelers haven't been on primetime much, and you know they've had Roethlisberger out a couple games, so that has an impact on it. The Patriots didn't have Tom Brady for the first four games. That's going to affect viewership. And look, look at the stars in this league. The Broncos, defending Super Bowl champions, they're not a fun watch.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are one of the best teams in the league last year. Super exciting. They've been poor. Look at the Panthers. Cam Newton, huge draw. They've been poor this year. The Saints with Drew Brees again, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They've had a bad record the last few years. So you look at these teams that
with
have
stars.
These, and look at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Horrible.
They've been bad this year. So you're looking at these teams with stars, and they're not performing as well. And while hardcore football fans might see this, I'm not sure if the average fan is going to get all excited to watch Derek Carr and the Raiders.
No.
You know, they're a great – if you know football, you know it's going to be a great game. But if you're an average fan, you get excited to see Derek Carr throw it to Amari Cooper. Those – names haven't caught on yet in the mainstream.
Right.
You know what
and
I
when
mean?
They do, it will be good because I would like to watch Derek Carr play.
I so
think,
would I.
And
absolutely.
I think he's, you know, Monday night game is going to be fun. We don't get a lot of Raider games out here on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and really, when you think about the Cowboys, the league needs a team like the Cowboys. I mean, they are a huge market team, and they've got two of the best rookies in the league playing. That's going to boost their viewership big time. And so, you know, with Roethlisberger coming back with the Steelers, that division is going to be up for grabs. Those are some good games coming up. I think that the league, all in all, at the end of the season, it may be down a little bit, but I think it's going to level itself out. That now that we're going into the second half of the season and things start to – the pot thickens a little bit in these division races.
And the other thing I'll say, too, and this is more kind of an anecdotal thing, similar to your thing on Thursday night. Monday Night Football, to me, used to be special.
It was the best.
When I was growing up, I was so excited for Monday Night Football. It was always the best or second-best game of the week, and you got pumped up for it.
And so did you as a player.
And now that's Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, again, this is my personal viewing preference. I don't really get to do this anymore, but I can just tell you, from last Sunday, I watched football from 1 o'clock to 7:30. I get to 8:40, and that game's about to start. I am petered out.
Yeah, it's overload.
The wife is tired of having football
Everybody's
on TV.
Tired.
And, yeah, I watched the game, but you're not psyched for it. But old school Monday night, you get through the Sunday, you recharge your batteries, you're like, wow, football is awesome. Wait, we got another game tonight, and it's a great game, and you get excited for it.
And
I think the league was better when Monday – and again, I don't know what the numbers show, and from the numbers perspective, maybe I'm absolutely wrong. I don't know. But from my – personal viewer preference, I'd much rather have the big time game be Monday night instead of Sunday night. That's just my
opinion. Hence, when you talk about old school, you had the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock, nothing in the evening, right? So you got all excited about a Monday game. Remember, you just said that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yeah. Well, guess what the league did? They said, hey, everybody in this format is going to get really excited about a Thursday game now. So then it just becomes a little bit overload. And I'm with you on the Sunday night. You know, I can only really say, I mean, we don't get to watch a lot of football when we're working on Sundays, but so Sunday night seems to be the game that we can only watch.
I'll tell you
but
what,
I'm watched a halftime. I'm asleep.
I'm tired when I get home.
No question.
And by the way, I want to go through it real quick. Sunday night the rest of the year, just to kind of give you an idea of what's coming down the road. And from quick glance here, I think they got some good games coming. They got Packers-Redskins, solid game.
Solid. That's this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Solid game. Then you got Thursday night, which is technically Sunday night football. That's Thanksgiving night.
Okay.
Steelers-Colts, Roethlisberger-Luck, entertaining high-scoring game, you would think. Chiefs-Broncos the following week.
Great
should
game.
Should be a good game. Panthers-Seahawks, a
Another
replay of
game.
Last year's NFC Championship game, should be good. Dallas-Giants, which is going to be an unbelievable game. Steelers-Bengals. We'll see if that game gets flexed out or not based on how it goes. And then Broncos and Chiefs, which will probably be with a playoff spot on the line. So those are some good Sunday night games coming down the road here. And I'm going to roll through the other ones for you, too, real quick. This is the Thursday night schedule.
Okay, so who plays
forward.
Thursday? Who plays Thursday? Okay, go ahead. We know that the
there is no technical Thursday night game on Thanksgiving week because that is the game I mentioned before.
There are three
Raiders.
Games on Thursday, though.
Correct. There is a Thursday night game. But that is technically part of the Sunday night package because it's on NBC.
It's not an official Thursday night
Correct.
Game.
Correct. Okay. So these are the remaining Thursday night games. And these, I think, are some pretty intriguing matchups. Most part. Cowboys at Vikings. That'll get a big rating. Raiders at Chiefs. That should get a big rating.
Yeah.
It's a good game, even if the markets aren't big. Rams at Seahawks. Eh. Dolphins at Jets. Eh.
Yeah.
Giants at Eagles.
Big one.
Monster game.
Monster.
And then Saturday night, Christmas Eve, is technically a Thursday night game, but I can't imagine the Christmas Eve ratings going to be very good with everyone with their family
with
celebrating
those two
the holiday.
Playing.
Bengals at Texans. Eh. And then the next
That's
following
a big one.
Sunday,
Christmas
Steelers. Night, which is the final technically Thursday night game.
That could mean something.
Ravens at Steelers, which could mean something for that division. And finally, I'll give you the Monday night schedule. I know Len is teetering. He's like, go to me, guys. Go to me. But I'm gonna
we'll get to you.
I'm going to give you the Monday night schedule, too, just because I think this is an interesting conversation. Texans-Raiders, no interest.
None.
Packers at Eagles, good game.
That would be good.
Colts at Jets, no interest. Ravens at Patriots,
good.
All right.
Yeah.
Panthers at Redskins. It's pretty
decent,
good. I'll watch that.
Teams, yeah.
And Lions at Cowboys. That could have a playoff implication game for both teams.
No question.
That's December 26th after Christmas. So,
especially because, okay, yeah. Yeah.
And remember,
yeah.
You can't flex out Thursday and Monday either.
No.
That's the problem.
So none of those teams are going to – none of those teams there are getting flexed into anywhere else. So that leaves you some other
maybe And that's why they don't have a Thursday or Monday night game the final week of the year so they can set up Sunday the way they want to set up Sunday. Anyway, Len in Maryland, you're up next. Sorry about that, Len. I got sidetracked.
Yeah, we're good, Len. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good. Well.
Yeah. Hey, John, how'd you know what I was thinking while you were running through those guys? I got all this important information for you, all this important stuff to talk about.
And we just talked about it.
And you're running down the Thursday night schedule.
Sorry about that, Len.
That's okay. I'm just kidding you, John.
I know.
I'm just kidding you. Listen, things are pretty good. We're 6-3, and I'm confident that by 4:15 on Sunday afternoon, we're going to be 7-3. I don't know if it's going to be one point, 20 points. It's going down to the last play, but I just can't see us losing.
Len, something tells me that for most games this year, even the games you think the Giants should win, that these Giants are going to make you sweat these games out. They don't seem like the type of team that's going to bury people quick and early and let you relax for a half of football. It doesn't seem to be in their DNA. I'm just warning you.
I think – you know what? I think there's some truth. I'm not convinced totally, but I think there's some truth to what they're saying, John. But remember what my forecast was, and that is that we're going to be 7-3. I'm not forecasting it isn't going to be close. It might be.
That's fair.
I just think we win this game and – you know, John, I'll tell you why I think we're going to win this game. We're going to put better players on the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're simply a better team.
Yep.
Simply a better team.
No argument.
Hey, two things. A couple of good calls from Joe and Drew, and I just want to kind of add something to what they both said. In Joe's case, talking about the defense and the strength of the defense, I wanted to put it in just a little different terms, and reminds me a little bit of last year's Carolina Panthers. We're getting more productivity, guys, at every single position on defense.
I want to stop you short for a second, Len.
Than we got last year.
Len, last year the Panthers had Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis Sr. The Giants do not have linebackers of that caliber.
No, I'm not comparing. What I'm doing is comparing 2015 Panthers to 2014 Panthers on defense.
Oh, everybody, I see what you
got,
mean.
Everybody got better.
I got you.
And what
I got
I'm saying
you.
With the Giants, 2016 to 2015, everybody's playing better. We're getting more productivity. We're getting more productivity out of every single position. I know. I've been beaten on the middle line. I've been beaten up on the middle linebacker position. But even last week, the middle linebacker was playing downhill in the run defense.
Yep, I agree.
And I think we're going to need that a little bit. He played a nice game. I got to give credit where credit is due. I know I've been all over the middle linebacker position this year, but he started playing downhill, and it made us even better. I'm telling you, it's amazing. We're getting more productivity out of everybody.
And
I mean, it's just really really been quite terrific to watch them play together here.
Len,
the difference, Drew's – yeah, Dad, I'm sorry.
Len, and really, when you look at this team defensively, and really from a whole perspective, the whole team, and you look at what Ben McAdoo has done in this conditioning program, he brought a new coach in here.
Yeah.
He's doing things that I guess they're in this REM system now that he calls this part of the season. You know, a lot of this has to do with health. This team has been relatively healthy.
Yeah.
And so these guys have been able to play – with each other for an extended period of time rather than put this guy in this week, take him out this week. That's why the cohesiveness on this defensive football team has been good. And like you said, they're starting to play that way. That's my point.
Yes, they are. They're really on the top of their game. I can't see these guys playing much better than they're playing. I mean, the last 3 to 4 weeks, it really has been quite terrific. And listen, I know, the guys are playing better, and there's a reason for that. I think health has a lot to do with it. System might have something to do with it. Look, the coaches are doing a better job, too. They're just doing a better job. I mean, everything has been an improvement this year over last year.
Good players, better players will make coaches look really good all the time. Trust
well,
me.
That's true. Especially if they're healthy.
Yep.
Listen, one more point on something that Drew brought up. I think he made a very important point about differences in philosophy and coaches integrating players into the game. The current coach versus Tom. And I'm not knocking any coach when I say this, but the prime example to me where there's a difference in philosophy is when Marshall Newhouse comes back healthy. If Tom Coughlin is the coach, Marshall Newhouse plays right tackle, and he loses the job on the field, not in the locker room, not in sick bay. And that's the difference. I can't tell you the difference between Newhouse and Hardock. I just don't know that much about offensive tackle play, to be honest with you.
Right.
Probably half the population thinks it's Newhouse. Half the population thinks it's Hart. I do know this. Tom would have sent Newhouse back out there. Newhouse would have lost his job on the field because we had a year and a half to play Hart out there. We've been playing Newhouse for a year and a half. I mean, it's just a little difference in philosophy, and not knocking anybody, but that's just my opinion. On the point that Drew was trying to bring up, I think there is a different attitude. Hey, let's go Giants. Let's win this game. There's no reason why we shouldn't win this game. When the schedule came out in April and we looked at it, we all had it in the W column. I see no reason to change our minds today or to think any differently. Playing a 2-7 team at home, just go take care of business. We'll be 7-3 and moving forward. I'm feeling good, guys.
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Len.
As always, Len. Yeah, maybe we should send that message to every one of those 53 guys in that locker room.
I think they'll be okay this week. You know, it's not like they've been rolling over teams and they should be overly confident. They've been winning these games by the skin of their chinny chin chin. So I can't imagine they're going to let down here. Now, if they go out there and blow out the Bears this week, are you worried about a letdown game in Cleveland next week if Cleveland's 0-10? Maybe that's more of
an alarm. Maybe even a little bit of a letdown. They can still beat the Cleveland Browns. You know what I'm saying? But I think this team has good leadership. I really do. And I use that word all the time just because I feel it's so important in the locker room because you really need it. You really have to have it in games like this, John.
And see, as a guy who covers the team, I always hesitate to talk about leadership because I don't know what's happening in there. And it's such an intangible thing. I think you have being someone that's been in that environment, I feel like you have a much better feel for that than someone like I would. You can sense when there's good leadership. But do you sense that there's better leadership this year than there was last year?
I do.
Why is that?
Just because of some of the people that I talk to and how they're doing things.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is...
And that's from players and coaches you're talking about.
Where it's taking place, mm-hmm. it's taking place in the meeting rooms.
Okay.
And on the field. You know, a lot of times the press and of people like our, we don't get to see everything, especially in the meetings. I never see anything in the meetings.
Of course.
But there's guys that are taking the young guys and saying, hey, John, this is how you play this, or this is what you don't do here. Okay, that's leadership. And there's also the leadership by example. I think JPP is a big guy like that. I think, you know, he's going to show guys how he's going to play on the football field, you know. And really what Len was talking about, what we're talking about, look at JPP. Okay, this guy is healthy. And he's getting better and better, and you know, his hand is still probably not 100%. And really, when you talk about all these other guys that was brought into the Giants defense this year, it takes them 8, 10, 12 weeks to learn how to play the system together, and that's what you're seeing now.
Ty in Maryland. He's up next.
Ty in
What's
Maryland.
What's good on, Ty? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing
good.
Well.
Good.
All right, Jeff and John, good to hear you guys' voices. I wanted to touch on a few things.
Sure.
First and foremost, big ups to Coach McAdoo for pulling a Tom Coughlin like you did a couple of weeks ago during the bye week, you know, making a few changes, a few adjustments, and not sticking to his guns like he did the first couple of weeks. Big ups to him for that. Big ups to Spagnuolo for finally having the defense he needs to blitz people and use different packages and everything. I really like what the defense is doing right now, as well as the offense finally getting the running game going like they did last week. I really hope that they keep this thing rolling. Really hope that they win these next two games, looking at 8-3 possibly, and I like the way things are going.
Thank you, Ty.
Now,
go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, finish up.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you guys a few questions.
Yep.
I heard Giants Live a few days ago, I think it was maybe Wednesday, Paul Dottino actually talked about Shane Vereen possibly coming back in December. I think he touched on, you know, there was like a six-week hiatus that he had to take that was mandatory.
Yeah.
And then after the 6 weeks, there was another maybe week or two where he could possibly be clear to practice again.
Yeah, after 6 weeks, he can start practicing. He can't return until after eight weeks.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Now knowing that, I wouldn't be surprised if he started practicing possibly the week before we play the Steelers.
Well, Ty, honestly, I don't know because they've asked Ben McAdoo about this, and he hasn't given no information as to how close Vereen is. So to me, any predicting on when he's going to be back is complete speculation. Nobody knows except for Shane and the medical staff, and they ain't talking.
I saw him running before the game last week.
Yeah, but he didn't have a leg injury,
yeah,
though.
Exactly. I was going to say, if that's any indication, I don't know.
What else you got, Ty?
Okay. Two more questions.
Yeah.
Do you think with Victor Cruz's situation, do you think it's necessarily imperative that he plays these next 2 weeks, seeing as how Tavares King and Roger Lewis are playing or have been playing these last 2 weeks?
I mean, I don't know if it's imperative, but if he's healthy and good enough to play, he should play.
Should play.
And I think he's pretty close. I think he could have played last week if it was a must-win type of game. So, I limit it this way. Ty, I would not hold him back on purpose because you think they're winnable games. If he's ready to play, you put him out there.
And Victor Cruz is worth everything you can get out of him in a game. He makes a big play.
A lot of big plays.
In games. And, you know, really – you need that kind of explosiveness along with the other guys. And honestly, the other guys are just learning. I know Tavares King is a little bit older than the other two, but I mean, these guys are they just got to learn a lot more. Victor Cruz, you can put he's got timing with Eli Manning from the days in the past. I mean, these guys can make plays in the games. You want to have Victor Cruz in there no matter what. If he's healthy, he's playing.
Thank you, Ty.
Yeah, thank you, Ty.
Appreciate the call, man. I want to make sure I get the one more call before we say goodbye, and that is Grim in Queens. Grim, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
We're doing great, Grim. How are you?
That was a transition.
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm doing good.
Just pick up the phone quick. It's okay.
Drop the phone, put the thing. What's up, Grim?
Yeah, man. I want to touch on. First, I'm going to have to take you back in time a little bit because the last time I spoke to you, John, was right before the draft, and I was telling you that I did not want the Giants to draft Leonard Floyd. I think he's looking pretty good right now.
He's four and a half sacks, something like that.
Five.
Yeah. He's looking good right now. So, it's not about that.
Grim, remember this real quick. He got drafted into a 3-4 defense, which is where he was going to be the best fit. You don't know if he'd be doing the same stuff he was playing in a 4-3 defense. So I think he wound up
exactly
in a better place for him.
That's why they want him drafted to us.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and also Jack Conklin. I didn't like him because of his footwork. I thought his footwork was needed improvement.
Well, it's really good now. He's having a hell of a year. He's having a hell of a year, Jack Conklin, man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Because, I try to keep a track on rookies, the rookies that went before us. I try to keep a track of them to see how they're doing, and I didn't get a chance to really see any games of him.
Nah, he's playing well. He's playing well.
So is Tunsil.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the reason I'm saying this is because I did want the Giants to draft either Eli Apple or William Jackson, and I think Jerry Reese made the correct choice in drafting Eli Apple.
Well, in hindsight,
because that's what I wanted because
Jackson's out.
Every time DRC used to go out of the game, the other teams would just immediately see it and go right down the field at whoever replaced them, whether it be Trevin Wade or whoever else that we had at the time. I thought that was going to be a critical, critical pickup for us, and I'm very glad that that happened. And as you can see, because we have, with the addition of Jackrabbit, we have the corners now that can match up with pretty much any receiving trio in the league.
No question. No question. Yep. And listen, Eli Apple, he got benched a few weeks ago, but Coach McAdoo said, you know what? We're going to put him back in there. He's getting better. It's just, it's a learning process with him. But you're certainly correct with Jackrabbit and DRC. I think those two cornerbacks compare to anybody in the National Football League when you do a tandem like that. And not to mention the play out of Landon Collins. Those three guys there are a pretty formidable group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Landon Collins has had the biggest jump I've practically seen from almost anybody from year one to year two.
And, absolutely.
One more thing I want to touch on that John was saying earlier about the overload of football.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's the Sunday games, but I think that Thursday night game is really diluting the product because players are not really getting the chance to recover from Sunday.
Yeah.
It's such a quick turnaround from Sunday to Thursday. You're not getting the chance to recover, and I think that's kind of, contributing to the bad play that you see around the NFL.
Thank you, Grim. Appreciate the call. And look, Thursday's hard. You got guys that maybe could practice on a Thursday or a Friday.
Oh, the
turnaround is
horrible.
Might be able to play in a Sunday game, but then they can't go on Thursday. Guys coming off concussions, no way they get back in time for the Thursday game. So it is a little bit tough.
And guys will their way through that game. I'm telling you, that Thursday comes around very quickly. And, the game last night, I watched a little bit of it back and forth, but it was a good game, But
Panthers almost let that thing slide away, man. Whew.
But, and Kukli going out of the game with a concussion, that's going to hurt them down the line.
Yeah. And it looked like a serious one, too. He was, sobbing, could barely breathe.
They carted him off,
I saw.
And he's a heck of a football player.
Oh, good guy,
man,
too, from
oh,
what I understand. I've never met him, but from what I
understand, he can go sideline to sideline with anyone, really. But, to wrap it up a little bit, Johnny, you know, this game is a huge step, and if the Giants are going to be a playoff team, this is a game that you have to go out and win.
Take care of business.
Just to show that you are that type, and you really have to stay pace with the Cowboys, you know?
And I'll end with this, my two keys real quick. I'll get yours too. The front has to play even. They can't get dominated on offense. That's number one. If the front holds their own, I think they'll be fine. And on defense, stop the run. You do those two things, not guaranteeing wins here, but you'll be in really good shape.
I feel that they're going to try to run Howard, like I said, up the middle of the field because that's where he gets his numbers.
But that's where Snacks is.
And Hankins, who both had some good games last week. But offensively for the Giants, I just feel like they really need to keep the time of possession going. Mm-hmm. And really, when they get in the red zone, get some of those touchdowns. And really, I think if the Giants' offense can – one time, this has been 18 games in a row they've turned the football over. One time, come out of the game with no turnovers offensively and get a couple on defense, Giants will win this game.
We'll find out. Jeff, appreciate the time.
See you guys on Sunday.
For Feagles, I'm Schmelk, and we'll see you on Sunday at MetLife Stadium at MetLife Central starting at 11:30 if you're attending the game. If not, tune into WFAN 101.9 FM or 660 AM, and you can listen to Coors Light Giants Game Day with Feagles, myself, Lance Meadow, Paul Dottino, Howard Cross, Carl Banks, Papa, Ben McAdoo, Rashad Jennings.
Those are the people
we hear from on Coors Light Giants game day this week. We'll have an interview with McAdoo, with Bob every week. I have Rashad Jennings. We'll record that later on today. And we will see you on Sunday. And then Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course, returns on Monday at noon with Paul Dottino and Lance Meadow. If the Giants lose, Paul might not show up. For Jeff Feagles, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time, everybody. Yeah, have a great weekend.